45th anniversary of the band.
It's crazy. I never saw this coming, you know.
Tell us about this tour.
The band's so tight right now because we just rehearsed our ass off.
Do you have a favorite song to play live?
It kind of changes all the time. Kickstart My Heart, being about when I had a heroin overdose, was brought back to life. The songs have outgrown the lyrics. You hear the song on a football game, a kickoff, they're not thinking about what the song's about. They're thinking about what the energy brings.
What does music do for people?
I see people smiling and screaming and singing every word. I think music does something different to everybody because we're all different. You are watching Joanne Butler in studio with me, Nikki Six, from Motley Crue.
Nikki Six in the house. Woohoo! Thanks for joining us on Life Minute.
Thank you.
45th anniversary of the band. Completely insane. Did you ever imagine that?
No. No, I remember after 9 years, I remember thinking, wow, it's been a real decade of decadence. And that we ended up recording the song Primal Scream. And I think we did the Sex Pistols cover on there and another song called Angela. And we put that album out while we were working on the follow-up to Dr. Feelgood. So I was like 10 years, you know, when I was growing up, like a lot of my heroes, like they only had like a 4 to 6 year window.
Right.
Right. And like even bands like Aerosmith, they're my favorite band of all time. They came out. I know everything about Aerosmith, probably too much. And they came out and those like first 5 albums, and then they just kind of crashed and burned, and Joe Perry left, and they had different, and it went through that whole weird thing. And then they came back with Run DMC and Walk This Way. And it was, It was awesome, but they had a short window. And so we look at a lot of the bands out there. There's not a lot that have been around 20 years,
so true.
Much less 30 years, much 40, and now 45. And I don't know, man, it's crazy. I never saw this coming. You know, kind of was like, I remember I saw the Stones and they might've been in their 40s. And I was like, damn, these guys are old, man. And now I'm in my 60s. I'm sure there's someone in the audience
don't look
going,
it.
How long till this guy drops? He keeps going. They don't stop.
I know. It certainly doesn't feel that long. It just gets better and better.
You know, to be creative and stay creative, and not just in music, but in other things that I do is very exciting. That's why I'm on this planet, I think, is to try to make up for the fact that my dad wasn't there for me and I'm able to be there for my kids. I have 5 kids, and to stay creative in anything I do and be open to these like fun opportunities and being in Motley Crue and having other bands and radio shows. It's been such a creative, fun journey for as long as I can remember, all the way back to being a kid. So I'm very grateful to sit here today.
Well, we're grateful to have you. So tell us about this tour. It runs through September 26th. Looks incredible. What are fans going to get when they see you guys play live?
Well, you know, I wasn't even really aware that it had been 20 years since Carnival Sends. My manager brought it up to me. And it was like, it's been 20 years. And we kind of started talking about what is different than 20 years ago. And what's really different is technology.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff that we can do with technology mixed with lighting and performance that is based around a lot of technology and being able to really push the envelope there. So it was a lot to put together, but actually an easier tour to do because we're not hauling around, you know, tons and tons of extra performers and stuff. We have 4 girls that do background vocals. They do burlesque. They do all kinds of fun stuff. So we mix that in with what we do and a little bit of pyro. And we're playing songs we haven't played in, I don't know, 30 years at least. And that was a lot of fun. And that happened because we kept having the same band argument, which is, one guy wants to play this song and another guy, you know, we look at the set list, we realize, you know, the same 20 or some version of the same 20 top 10 hit singles. And we were like, it's weird, but we're going to have to start dropping singles. And so we put Take Me to the Top in there, which 150 million people saw the Dirt movie. And that was the main song in the movie. And we took SOS, Same Old Situation, out, which was a top 10 hit single off the Dr. Feelgood album. And then, we added Too Young to Fall in Love. So we ended up losing Don't Go Away Mad. And so it was this weird feeling of like letting go of something we know is become common of our shows, but bringing in stuff that fans voted online. So we literally listened to the fans. I'm seeing fans are saying this is their favorite set list they've heard in a decade or so. It feels like everything is falling in place.
That's so cool. Do you have a favorite song to play live?
I guess it kind of changes all the time. I mean, it's been really nice playing Take Me to the Top and Too Young to Fall in Love and Red Hot off the second record. And people don't even know what a lot of those songs are about. They weren't born. Louder Than Hell off our third record. Some of the lyrics are really get down in the dirt, mixed with Bukowski, mixed with lifestyle. It's fun to dig into some of that old stuff that's not so, even Dr. Feelgood is a pretty hefty story about a drug dealer named Dr. Feelgood. And around the fact that, is the time the band got sober, Kickstart My Heart, being about when I, had a heroin overdose, was brought back to life. Those are pretty, but the songs have outgrown the lyrics. So when you're watching a football game and you hear Kickstart My Heart on a kickoff, they're not thinking about what the song's about. They're thinking about what the energy brings. And the energy of some of these older songs, like I'm sitting there looking at it lyric as a lyricist and a songwriter, but they're looking at it as a this was my older brother's favorite song, or this is the song that I discovered Motley Crue because I never seen Motley Crue and I saw their movie, like Take Me to the Top. So it's a lot of like newness yet old school familiarity. Band's so tight right now too, because we just rehearsed our ass off. We had a very short window of rehearsal. So what we like to do is run the show twice, and which is what we used to do in the old days. So we come in early, we run the show top to bottom with no lead vocals. So it's just about stamina and intensity and dynamics. Then Vince comes in, we run the show again. So that's 3 hours of playing 6 days a week. And then we had 2 weeks of that. And when we landed on stage, we were like really tight. A lot of these old songs came together really fast. Like Take Me to the Top came like one take. And we were like, oh, okay, we got it.
That's so cool.
Like the hardest song I think to play is a song called Afraid off the Generation Swine album. It's a departure melodically. And it's a tempo shift. And it's one of my favorite songs to play live. And it again is something really fresh and different. I've had people I've seen online are like, I never even heard that song Afraid, and it's like now my new favorite song. So it's been a good experience.
Are you doing that one on this
We are
tour?
doing Afraid, yes.
All right. What about out of all the albums you made, do you have a favorite or a favorite song?
I mean, they all mean something different to me. I was at different places at different times in my life. Writing a song like Knock 'Em Dead Kid, after I'd, gotten in a fight with the police on Sunset Boulevard and ended up in jail, is something that I needed to do at the time. I was in revenge mode. I was in my 20s and full of piss and vinegar. And, yet by the time we moved over to Theater of Pain, the band had been on the road for so many years, opening for Ozzy mostly. We got an opportunity, like with Home Sweet Home, to do some different kind of halftime things, like a song called Save My Soul. So that's like a departure from Shout at the Devil, which was a departure from Too Fast. And it's a constant evolution. We never quite know where we're going. When opportunity strikes, something comes up. I honestly, I know fans don't want to hear this, but I don't believe in making full-length records at anymore at this time on the planet. For me, the amount of work that goes into, if you're doing 10 songs on a record, you got to write 20, right? And you better hope five of them are stellar. It's a lot of lyrics, a lot of notes, a lot of chord changes, a lot of time in the studio. which is all fine. That's what we do. We work hard. But what I don't like is that when people hear one song and you recorded 10
Right.
or you recorded 20 and then 10 of them were demos and 10 was an album, they only hear one. Radios change, streaming is changing and evolving as we go. So I'm really into the idea of lightning strikes, something comes down. I call the guys. I got this song. It's just sitting on the tip of my tongue right now. I told Tommy about it a year ago. I just told my friend, and he goes, "You told me to write a song called that 25 years ago." And I go, "Okay, I'm going to finish the song and then show it to the band." But it's like having a song and a whole team behind a song and be able to get the fans to really understand what the song is about. It's just not something that they just pass by or they go to the new Motley Crue album and they only listen to one song. So I love the idea of like we did The Dirt, we did five songs from The Dirt, we did three songs on this EP we just did. I mean, that's already a full-length record. So I think we're just gonna keep going, like whenever something comes up, you feel something, heartbreak, joy, rebellion. Let's write a song about it and let's go cut it, in the studio.
I love that. That's awesome. One of my favorite songs of all time, Looks That Kill, not just a Motley song, but of all time. And psyched to see it's going to be part of a limited edition vinyl.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, BMG's been doing such a great job with us and that, it's like creating something, like you said, it's your favorite song. It's a lot of people love that song. And to create a limited edition version of that is super special for the fans. That's like really what we're trying to do is create unique things for the fans that they can add to their collection along the way.
And what about the dollar per ticket for ASAP? Tell us about that too.
I was growing up in when I was in Seattle. I remember hearing that they may not be able to keep the music program going because they couldn't afford. And I was just a kid in high school, and I wasn't actually really going to the music program. I was like playing in my friend's basement, like trying to learn Smoke on the Water and, just being a garage band. But it bummed me out because I saw a lot of kids, musicians that had dreams that didn't really know what to do with it, and whether it's classical music. And the same thing in the arts program, me being a creative, I believe that, music and art and animation and scores and wardrobe and live, it all goes together. So in a lot of cases, there's not enough money to be able to support these kids. And so the after school arts program is something that's very important to me and to the band. We are giving $1 a ticket away in our shows. We just did a great thing with Covenant House that I built a music program at Covenant House from the proceeds from my book, The Heroin Diaries, which is about recovery. So I talked to the band. We decided to do three club shows in LA. It was called the Hollywood Takeover. And we donated not just the money from the tickets because they were clubs, but like auctioned off like all the instruments, the stage clothes. We did a lot of like high-end meet and greets, dinner with the band. We talked to a lot of big companies. We said, "You're coming in. You're coming in. It's $25,000 a table because we need to do this for the kids." And we were able to give $400,000 to Covenant House, and we're hoping to give another $400,000 from ASAP from this tour. And it's just part of our initiative as a band. We are very lucky. We've had a long career. We've been able to take care of our kids, make sure our kids can get the best. How can we help other people take care of their kids?
I love that. So good, so good. And the limited edition box set.
I mean, it's so cool. Again, BMG, they're so great to work with. We just have a really clear understanding together of what Motley Crue is or is not. So they're not like taking our catalog and trying to polish it up to turn it into something that it's not. They're able to say, "What was this album about? And we want to do a box set about this. Too Fast for Love or Shout at the Devil or Dr. V." How do we make that something that the fans have to have? They've got to put it on their bookshelf. And that's, the new box set, what it's all about.
Cool. What's the first vinyl record you ever bought or got as a gift?
I remember very young, my mom was bouncing around a lot. We somehow ended up in some people's house in the Hollywood Hills. And this kid that my mom was friends with the other mom, and they had a little boy, he had a record player that when you put the lid down, the needle was built into the lid. And he had 45s, which for years was my favorite number because of 45s like that. I remember for years, but what's your favorite number? I'd say 45. I traced it back. Well, he had all these singles by the Chipmunks. And I didn't know anything about business or licensing, but all the Chipmunks are playing all these like Beatles songs, Rolling Stones songs. They were all licenses, and there was the Chipmunks, and it was a cartoon show at the same time. So I remember listening to this music coming out of this little thing, and that was like some of the earlier times. And radio obviously had a huge impact on me because that was the only way that I could get music was from my grandmother's AM radio. I just
Love it.
remember sitting by this thing and just listening to the DJs talk about the music, and then hearing the music actually was very influential in me having my 10-year run as a with a radio show.
I love it. What does music do for people?
I see people cry. I see people get in fights. I see people get naked. I see people smiling and screaming and singing every word. I think music does something different to everybody because we're all different.
I love
You
it.
know, and you could see Motley Crue on a Monday and have a whole different emotional experience than you would 2 Mondays from then. You
I
know, you
love
might
it.
be going through something different. You might need Motley Crue as a way, or rock and roll as a way to break out, just get out of your rut. You know, we really feel that since we were kids that, you know, people are out there and they're working their ass off. And, you know, I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, straight, gay, none of it matters when you come to a Motley Crue show. What matters is we're all there for the same reason. That's just to enjoy and express our joy for music, whether it's us or any other band. I don't care, but we just think it's kind of something that's very important to people.
So good, Nikki. Thank you so much. You're
You're
so
welcome.
cool. You're awesome.
Thanks a
Have a
lot.
great show tonight. To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv.